The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Pleased to be here. Pat and I are glad to be back from our trip. We are far, far away, not in Florida. But we escaped. We had a tie with Mickey and Minnie up. And so we could get out of town, but we managed to do it. So we got back and we're glad to be home. And I want to thank Bruce Olivier for filling in last week. And I really appreciate that. And we're pleased to have the Ziegler's with us today. Yeah. Ready to give us a report on the Uganda and ask him to preach. And for several reasons, one, I'd like to hear him preach. And second, this is gave me a little extra time without having to get a sermon ready for you guys. Just to be honest about it. So I was going to say something, but it just was gone. But I will say what I want to say. Don't forget, I'm going to say it a bunch of times today. Don't forget. You know what next Saturday is, huh?
Vote no!
And the casino, all right? So I'll give you an update on that a little bit that I do know. I'll talk to Tom Thornhill a little bit, and I'll fill you in on that in just a little bit. But in a minute, let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, how glorious you are, how great you are. I'm so glad you don't go on vacation, Lord. I'm so glad that you don't move off someplace and send in the sun. We're glad, Lord, that you are with us always. You never leave us. You never desert us. You never leave us alone. But you are with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you eternally for that. As we gather together today, I pray for your presence. Yeah. Pray that all these electronic devices work the way they were designed to work. Father, I pray that the word is that is brought here in this building, the music that's brought here in this building, we go forth to the nations. We love you, Lord. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. Okay. Worship team.
Ready? Okay, here we go. A king is born. Come humbly and humbly bow. He's in the manger. Hallelujah. Angels bow down, worship Him. Hallelujah. Almighty God, so meek, so mild, salvation comes through this holy child. A king is born, he's in the manger now. A king is born, humbly come and humbly bow. The tiny Lord reaching out his tiny hand. A king is born this day in Bethlehem. This day in Bethlehem. This day in Bethlehem. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. A king is born. So we shout unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout for joy, for the King is born. Hallelujah. So let's lift up a shouting song. Is the victory. We lift up a shout to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Sing it, shout. Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord is giving you the victory. Shout for joy for the Lord.
Sing on my trail, singing.
beings warm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. The one who's forgiven our sins. The one who's redeemed our life from destruction. The one who heals all of our diseases. The one who satisfies us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who renews our strength like the eagle. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on, let's bless him, church. We bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great salvation, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for your Son, oh God.
We bless you, Lord. Because of what the Lord has done.
It's that season of the year that we spend time thinking about the birth of our Savior. And what a glorious time it is, Lord. We've heard the story over and over and over again, but it never loses its glory, and it never loses its mystery, and it never loses its power, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son in the form of a child, born in the city of Bethlehem, who came to live and to grow, become a man, suffer and die on the cross for us. We thank you for it, Lord. Father, let everything that happens in this house today bring praise and honor and glory unto you. We worship you, Lord. We do, Lord. Hallowed be your name. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, it's good. I love that. Good worship. I missed it. I missed it last week. You guys said you guys always. I like that song, This Is War. That's a declaration. I believe that song was written. I don't have the exact story on it, but I believe it was written by God the Father in the Garden of Eden. Right after Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, said, "This is war. Yeah, I'll show you what can happen." And we are the victors because of him. So that is, God is so good to us. By the way, I want to thank the ladies that decorated the building for us. Hey! Looks good. Every time I come home from Thanksgiving break, I come in and the place looks great. Thank you so much for your labors and your love to make sure the place looks great. I appreciate it. I believe Bobby and Donna and Aaron and did I miss somebody? Janine? Yeah, okay. Very good. Good job. Good job.
And
who? Fran. Okay, Fran. That's the way we say it down there. Fran. Just a couple of things. Miss Beverly was in the hospital, for those of you aware, and she's was going home yesterday. Do you know if that happened, Bobby? Did she go home?
She was supposed to go home last evening, yes. Her son was coming to pick her up.
Okay.
Oh,
good. So that's good news. And let's see, who else was not doing well?
You want to know what's going on with Nick's son.
With what?
Nick's son, Adam.
Oh, Adam, yeah. Nick's son is not doing well. He was missing for a while. They did find him. He's a diabetic, and he... if his diabetes is out of sorts, he gets out of sorts. And I can't tell you the whole story because I don't know the whole story. But I can tell you that Nick was on his way yesterday to Atlanta. He's been moved from one hospital to another. They're not real sure where he is. So they're trying to locate him. It's just a system. He got picked up. The police found him, and so once they found him, they're taking care of him, and they moved him around according to the edicts of the Atlanta Police Department. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So he's getting help, and so Nick is on his way up there. So just continue to pray for them. Nick is very distressed, as you can imagine. You would be. When they found his son, he was in a coma. And thank God for the cell phone. Because if the cops want to find you, they ping you, and they know exactly where you are. And they found him in his car. Dick told me if that had been 20 minutes later, he'd have been dead. So it was that close. So just keep them in prayer. It's a stressful time for the Rebo family. But we're encouraged that we'll get some good reports on that. Speaking of good reports, to bring you up to date, you may not know this. If you do know it, forgive me for repeating it. I may have some of the names wrong, but all of the events are true. Okay. When I left out of here, the case filed on the constitutionality of the bill for the casino had gone to the First Circuit Court of Appeals. That court ruled that the judge, the 22nd Circuit judge, had to have the trial before the election.
Praise God.
That was good news. The bad news that the 22nd Court appealed to the Louisiana Supreme Court, and they ruled that they wouldn't have a filing, a hearing, a court date or anything until after the election. So there will be an election this coming Saturday, and everybody here is going to go vote, and everybody here is going to go vote no. This thing has got to be stopped. I just saw the headlines on the newspaper, if you haven't seen that newspaper yet. But Chris Jeans, one of the leaders of the businessmen, who really, we had a little bonfire going. It was kind of small. He came in with napalm. I mean, this thing's going crazy. They have over 500 businesses that are in opposition. So, but he has, one of the things that P2E has promised, and promises, yeah, don't promise me anything, just show me the ring. You know, that's an old joke from yesteryear. So they're promising this recreational facility. Well, Chris Jeans donated 60 acres of land on Thompson Road, and he's working with the city now, and he and the mayor are working it out. And from the headlines I saw, let's see, it says, quote, as for the park, now we can build it ourselves. We don't need P2E to do it. So Chris Jeans, all right? So that's a good thing, because they've been promising this thing, and it just didn't have the didn't pass the smell test. Although they kept telling us that they were going to put the money up. Well, at first it was going to $35 million cash, and then we were going to get some bonds to do it. Then we're going to ask the parish to endorse the bonds or stand, you know, liable for the bonds. And but we're going to pay you back to make sure that if anything goes wrong, that the parish won't have to pay for those. I don't do business like that. I've been in business. That's such a kind of contract I would sign. So at any rate, this kind of takes some of the steam out of that. The people of St. Tammany, by the good gracious, good graces, not gracious, but graces of Christine and others, working with our wonderful mayor, that's going to happen. Okay? And I believe that.
Yes.
You know, there won't be any funny money or oops or anything else. It's going to happen. So next Saturday is the day to vote. Early voting is over. I've here, but don't let this over compensate and make you think everything's wonderful, but from those who have been out on the streets knocking on doors, that I would say that 10 out of 100 people are in favor of the casino. So that's about 10% in favor. It's not going to be, the vote won't be that wide. But I have faith. You know, God's had his hand on Slidell, and he's been doing some wonderful things, and every time you think he's done more than you could take care of, is more. Do you know something?
Well, I have a question.
Oh, a question, yes, sir.
Are you going to have mail-in ballots?
Are you going to have mail-in ballots? not as far as I know, in St. Tammany Parish. I haven't heard that, so, but that's another story. So at any rate, that the election, the vote will be next Saturday. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that I think of one reason that all this good stuff, like the napalm, the donation, and all the other stuff is going on, is because God is answering prayers of his people. I'm just saying, please, we got 1 week left. Don't stop praying. I think, I really believe this is decided in the heavenlies. It manifests in the natural, but it starts up in heaven. And
amen.
We pray.
Right.
God hears prayers.
Yeah.
So please
pray.
Amen. Keep praying. You're right.
Amen.
God moved. Yes. God moves heaven and earth, you know, to get things done. Pat? No. I was just reading about David when Saul died, and David was trying to rise to the position of the king, and there was the Philistines were gathering in war against him, and David went down in a cave, and he said, "Should we go against them?" And God said, "Will we win?" And God said, "Yes." And David went a different way. Instead of going in, God told him, don't confront them in the front, go around the backside. And he went around the backside and beat them all, you know, because God was there and God gave the victory. So I think we've kind of done that some. We've kind of gone around the backside. So I'm really optimistic, but we won't know until for sure in the natural what we believe in the supernatural, that God's going to give us the victory. So that's good news. Any other announcements, anything I need to tell you about? Christmas is coming, so be prepared. It comes every year, whether you want it to or not. Don't get stressed out about it. I talked to a guy down in Florida. He said, this year, everybody gets cash. So I'm not going to shop for any day. You know, cash, 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 that's it. So that's an easy way to get through the Christmas season without any stress. So we get too much stuff anyway. Anyhow. Yes?
I just wanted to remind the ladies that we will have our Christmas party here at the church December 18th at 1 o'clock, and they can talk to me later.
December the 18th at 1 o'clock here at the church, the ladies are going to have a party.
Yes.
That means the men are not involved. Yeah. Okay. What time did you say?
1
o'clock. Okay. Got that, ladies? Don't ask me anymore. I asked Bobby because I don't know anymore. Okay, with that said and done, We're so blessed to have the Ziegler's in our community. They are an amazing couple. They were in Uganda for an extended period of time. It seemed like forever. And they finally got back. And I tried to get them here last week, but they were already booked. So I booked them for this week before they start running around giving reports. And I asked them to come and share what happened in Uganda, and then also to bring a message. So I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you guys, and thank you for your love, your care, your service, and let's give them a good welcome here. You want this microphone?
Okay, thank you. All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you and to celebrate the Lord. I love the songs we sang about war. And I'm looking around. I see lots of shields of faith that have been added here since we left. I love the shields of faith because, oh my, we can't make it through this life without the shield of faith, right? And the sword of the Spirit. So as you see, Dave is not coming up. Dave is going to preach in a bit. So I'm going to give the Ugandan report and fill you in on some of the great things that God did while we were in Uganda. I want to first thank you, because you sent us out as messengers. We go in as the hand and feet of the Lord, the mouthpiece of the Lord, but we can't get there unless you send us out as messengers, and you are faithful to do that. We appreciate each and every one of you and the part that you play. Prayers, words of encouragement and support, financial help, shoes. You gave shoes, and those kids enjoyed those shoes. Yeah. They love them. So, you know, that's the first thing. One of the first things we did was go in to deliver. We had clothes, shoes, and we had school supplies. And two of the young people came to Christ that day. So we had two salvations on the mountain that day. So thank you for that. And they always say, please thank everyone back home. I have a few scriptures I want to share just for a minute here. You don't need to look them up. I'm just going to kind of skip, but I'm going first in John 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then further on, as we get into the book of Acts, we see Paul going before King Agrippa to give a testimony. And he stands before him and he says, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. He had to testify before him. And that's exactly what we're doing when we give you a Ugandan report. We're testifying to what God accomplished. How was God moving there? In the troubled times we live in our nation and throughout the world, everything that's going on, we need to be reminded that we serve a God who not only was born in a manger, meek and mild, but just as you said today, we're in a war, and we serve, after he conquered sin, death, and the grave, he went to be with the Father. But the Word tells us he's coming back one day. And when he comes back, he is not going to be meek and mild. He is going to be the conquering king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it even tells us that when he comes back, he's coming back on a horse for war. That is the God whom we serve. And so today I stand and testify before you some of the things that the Lord did while we were in Uganda. No way I can tell you everything, but he moved, and he moved in mighty ways. He moved differently than any other time before. This was a different adventure. We did see over 40 salvations throughout the entire time.
Yeah. Wow.
We water baptized 10 people in two different areas. So one in Masaka and then one in the slum city of Kaboa. We had several people baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And praise God, we saw some lives transformed. So let me tell you a little bit about some of the lives that were transformed. And I'm going to go through it, but a picture's worth a thousand words. So as usual, we've brought a video that will then show you some of those pictures of the people whose lives were transformed. We left by faith. And by that, I mean this. When we left, we normally already know what the program's going to be. We know what conferences we're doing, what crusades we're doing. We know the day we're going to do them. This time, because they were still on lockdown, that couldn't be done. But we knew God had provided and said, go. So by faith, we left. While we were flying there, because it takes 22 to 24 hours to get there, while we were flying there, the president of Uganda, President Museveni, came on and made an announcement to the country that that Sunday he was reopening the churches. So we arrived on a Friday night, and on Saturday the churches opened. Was that amazing?
Yeah.
We just rejoiced. It's a whole nother story that this time we had some favor that was amazing that we never prayed for. It didn't matter. But we came in as VIPs. Our new friend, Brian and Twatwa, had connections and said, you coming in and doing all this work? You need to come in as a VIP. And so he contacted the powers to be, and they gave permission for us to come into the airport as VIPs. Which was an amazing blessing, not just for the comfort of it, to go sit in a lounge with leather couches, but we didn't have to stand in the long line where a COVID test had to be given again. And we didn't have to wait for the results of the COVID test. They came to us. They took our test and said, entrusted us to the care of Brian and said, now just go there till you get the results. We were able to go get settled in on his compound, and the next morning we got our results, and they were negative. So it was a special blessing, just like to let you see, exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. So we stayed the first week at Brian's compound. Many good things happened there. During that first week, Brian had asked that we set that first week aside to go along with him and meet high-level government officials. He had meetings set up because he was hosting six Estonian business investors that were coming into Uganda to invest and build big businesses there. One was a lady who wanted to invest in real estate. She's going to buy real estate and build a hotel. These were no small businesses. Another one was a man who owns a huge company. He builds cruise liners. Oh my goodness. This was an amazing week, believe me. We enjoyed being with the Estonians. We spent the day all day. But the very first morning that we got to spend with them was over a big buffet breakfast at a very nice hotel. I didn't even know those kind of hotels existed in the country of Uganda. And the reason this is important is because there were four men, two ladies. The four men got up after the breakfast and went to do some things they needed to do. The two ladies remained with us. One thing led to another, and the next thing you know, we're getting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And they began weeping and crying and said, I want Jesus. I want to be born again. So that is the way the trip started out. And Dave and I just said, if this is how it's starting out, this is going to be a great mission trip. And so we spent the remaining days of that week with them, got to watch them as they were actually growing in the Lord already. They even one night in another hotel over a huge, elegant dinner. We had about 20, 25 people that had gathered, government officials, leaders of industries there, plus the six Estonians. And they said each person needed to get up, introduce themselves, and tell something about themselves. I tell you this to show how they testified of what God had done in their lives. In front of their colleagues and everyone else, when it came to their turn, they stood up, each of those ladies, and said, "Well, I came to Uganda to invest business, but I found Jesus Christ and I've gotten born again." So it was great. It was wonderful. So that was the first two souls that were saved and lives transformed. We've continued to keep in touch with them via WhatsApp. Hallelujah for WhatsApp. After that, we did other things. We had two press conferences with media there that we got to participate in for our friend Brian Antoitwa, who is over Incredible Youth International, which is in, I think he said, 35 countries. So he's doing a big agricultural project with his youth. We got to be a part of that, and I forget how many boys right now I've got, you know, doesn't matter. But many of those youth rededicated their lives to Christ, and some gave their life to Christ. So that was an amazing press conference. We did a 2-day SOAR conference. SOAR means seasons of revival, of awakening and revival. SOAR, seasons of awakening and revival. We did a 2-day thing like that. Many people came up, received healings of back problems, headaches, things like that. That's where they receive baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Another great thing that happened through that was that a few days before we had done a pastor's conference. And we saw that the pastors were so discouraged. This was their first week to come back since May. Second lockdown, churches completely locked down. They were coming back and they were so discouraged. They were heavy spirited. Just losing their vision and everything. We were able to pour back into them and encourage them that, no, you know, God's raised you up for such a time as this. Come on back. You know, go after your sheep that you lost, but he's going to bring new ones in. And we were able to encourage them, and many said that they got their passion back. They got new vision. So that was a big answer to prayer. Another thing was we had some divine appointments. We met a wonderful lady, as God would have it. One evening we were at our hotel in the dining hall. We were the only ones in there except for one other down the table. There was four or five people sitting together. We bowed our head to pray, and when we looked up, one of the ladies was standing over Dave's shoulder. She thought she knew me. And then she said, "Well, okay," she said, so we realized she didn't. She said, "But I noticed you prayed." She said, "I'm an apostle." And now, here's the funny thing. She was Ugandan, but she had a British accent. So she told us her story, that she had been born in Uganda. Later on, as an adult, God moved her to London. She was there for many, many years when, a few years ago, God told her, "Get up and go back to Uganda. The pastors need you. You need to begin to encourage the pastors." So she moved back to Uganda. Long story short, as we talked, come to find out, when she learned what we were doing and that we had just hosted the pastor's retreat and taught there for 2 days, she began to tell us what she was doing. She was going to the outlying villages like we like to do, encouraging those village pastors. And she had a team that she brought with her. But she said what she really needed was curriculum to train the pastors. We said, "Wait a minute. We let us show you what we have and let us tell you what we're doing." So we sat for hours. And they got so excited. I brought one of the books. I showed it to them. And she said, "This is a gold mine. You're sitting on a gold mine. She said, can we use it? And then we got to thinking, wait a minute, you can help us. You're already going out into all the villages. Let's see what kind of partnership we can do. So before we left, 6 weeks later, we were able to do a Zoom meeting with her and Pastor Sam and us, and worked out a potential plan of how to move this curriculum and Bible schools into all the outlying villages that we can reach, that God will open up. Unbeknownst to her, you see, Pastor Sam already, weeks before we left, said God gave him a vision. And the vision was that we could take this Bible school into all the outlying villages. We said, how are we going to do that? And he said, well, he said, we get pastors out there. And I'm still thinking, how do we cover a country, right? She's already doing it. So, Bible school, while I'm on that subject, we already have, because of lockdown, they were not able to meet. And Pastor Sam had given them curriculum to take home and study. They did that. But December 13th, they will officially reopen and meet every Monday and Tuesday for class. And in January, the second school will open. Yes. And God miraculously gave us the first student for that one. So that was amazing. You'll see his picture in the videos. His name is Joel. He also goes by the name of Israel because he loves Israel. And so we met him. He was an automobile mechanic, owned his own company. We had a vehicle that needed repair while we were there. We met him. He began to preach to us while we were waiting for the car to be fixed. And you could see God's anointing on this man, and you could see the calling. So we got to talking with him, and he said, I'd love to go to Bible school one day. We said, come sit with us and come talk. And so he went in to get his Bible because he wanted to show us some scriptures. And you're going to see in the video, when he brought out his Bible, we were shocked. He had a Jimmy Swaggart Bible. It's like, Joel, do you know we live like an hour and a half from where this man's ministry is? You know. So these are the kinds of things that were happening. I don't know how long I've taken. I didn't look at that clock. Okay, two other things real quick that were big. And I won't go into the details because we're being recorded live. So, but one of them was that my book, one of our female doctor friends, Dr. Roy, I had given her a book last year, and the Lord had touched her heart. And during the summer, I think I may have told you a little bit about that before, that the Lord woke her up and told her to go befriend these ladies way out in the village. And she befriended 10 of them, and she's been trying to introduce them to her friend, Jesus. And some of them were even Muslim ladies. And she told them, she said, the Lord told me to be a friend to you. She said, and I want to introduce you to my friend, but I'm not forcing you to accept him. I just want you to get to know him. And so she began taking them once a week in a Bible study, and she was using the daily devotionals in my book, but instead of daily, she's doing them once a week. So when we got in country, she called and she said, would you come talk to my ladies? And I said, sure, we'll come talk to you ladies. Well, she's in another area, so we had to get transportation down there. She called together 7 of the 10 ladies within a couple hours. You know, that doesn't happen here. We don't know how to drop what we're doing and just go do that. But in Africa, they do. That's a wonderful thing. So within a couple hours, by the time we arrived, 7 ladies were waiting. There's a chapel in the clinic. And by the way, that clinic was built and is financially supported by a lady who used to live here in Slidell. How does God work, right? It's a small world. Small world. So Dr. Roy, we met with the ladies, began to share the love of Jesus with them. and that God could give them a new start in life. They didn't need to walk around with shame and all this stuff, but God could give them a new life. And I tell you what, I didn't exactly have my shield of faith up because I wasn't really expecting, I was expecting one or two hands to go up. They all went up. All seven ladies received the Lord. And Pastor Sam was there translating. We were able to pray with them. He then even was able to get them to cut and renounce ties of witchcraft and wearing fetishes. And they asked Dave, "You got that pocket knife on you?" He said, "Yeah." And we're thinking, what do they need that for? They started cutting off things we didn't even know were on them. Some were under their clothes, some fetishes. Cut them off, and you'll see in the video, Pastor Sam has them in his hand. That was a huge thing. The other thing was planting the church in the slum village has been amazing. Over 100 people the first Sunday for the worship service. And then the last day, we were leading people to Christ all along the trip, okay? But the last day, we're packed up, we're dressed for the airport, all of our luggage is packed and in the vehicle, and they inform us that they've arranged for us to come meet three football teams of young boys. And they said, come meet them, come tell them the gospel message, tell them about Jesus. So you'll see pictures in the end, the very last morning, we meet with three football teams of different age boys, and 19 of them give their life to Christ. So praise God. So I've come to testify, because when you testify, you tell of the things you have seen and the things you have heard. And that is some of the things we got to see and witness about what God is doing there. I didn't even get to tell you about the Honorable Amelia. Maybe we'll tell you about her another day, but she was, I'll condense this, she was a two-term parliamentary minister over trade and industry. Brian introduced us to her. I'm going to tell him anyway. Can I tell you anyway? Because it's a great story. So Brian had told her we were in country. She invited us to come have dinner in her home, a gorgeous, elegant home. An elegant, classy lady. And we go, we have dinner in her home. God just gave us favor in that we took to her, she took to us. God made this wonderful love connection. And by the time we left there that evening, we were ministering to her, not even knowing anything. It just was one of those, you begin to speak and you're speaking right to where the need is. After we spoke with her, she asked us to sit down. She said, we asked her, there was some things. She doesn't, I'm not telling you anything she didn't tell me. I couldn't, okay? She gave us permission to share because she said, my life has been transformed. In fact, we heard from her last night. She was texting back and forth. But she said there was some unforgiveness. There was some anger. She had lost the third election. And she had started many, many, many wonderful humanitarian projects in her whole community. She was over a very large district or region. Those projects were going to be left undone, not finished, because now she didn't get her third term, and it was breaking her heart. So she was depressed and things like that. Well, I gave her my book, too, and she began reading it, because that was the first week we met her. We heard from her, and she said, God has transformed my life. Y'all prayed with me that God would help me to forgive and let all of this go. It's gone. It's gone. She said, I don't have bitterness in my heart. I don't have unforgiveness. And she said, and I am ready now to go serve my people. I'll do it on my own. I don't have to be in politics to finish those projects. Then she asked us, she said, and don't leave the country till you come spend some nights with me at my house. So on the last week, we spent 2 days and nights with her in her lovely home, getting to know her better. She took us all around to all these wonderful projects. And it was like, this is a woman of influence. And God has released her to continue to be that influence. That's the some of the amazing stories. So thank you.
Praise ye the Lord for his
gifts.
Praise
the Lord. I never said, don't be touched. Come on, little pretender. What you keep up? Nothing pretender. I'm not afraid.
to Uganda.
What a blessing it was to be able to go and to come back and to report. But we can't do it without you. Your love, your prayer, your support. Wow. Thank you. There is more to speak about concerning Uganda. But I'm going to give the word, if I can, for a little bit this morning. I'm not going to be long. I'm in fact, I got my phone, and I've got my timer on today so that I stay within my time period here. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. It is such a pleasure to go and to work with these people. 1 minute, it seems that you're in a palace, and then the next minute, you're amongst poverty. And it's like, wow, I feel like Paul the Apostle. We get to go and be with people of influence and pray that we will make inroads into their lives. And then the next minute, we're with the poorest of the poor. And it's like, wow, the heart of God. He puts you in places where you thought you'd never go, but yet he opens these doors that are miraculous doors.
Yes.
So it's exciting. When we come back, it's a little hard to adjust, but whew, it's good to be back as well. This was a year of new beginnings in our ministry, if you will. We prayed that God would put us with people of influence, and boy, did it happen. And did it happen quickly and ways and means we didn't think would happen. So anyway, that is amazing. I got a message for you, and I'm going to try and do this within 20 minutes. And it's called Our Weapon of Righteousness. That's the name of the title of this message. And I'm going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Today, while we were getting ready, I heard Grace listening in the bathroom to a minister, maybe you guys have heard of him, Jonathan Kahn, and he was saying a lot of what I'm about to say. And I was thinking, wait, I hear it in the background. Grace is in there, got this message on, and it's like, wow. Isn't it amazing when you just turn something on randomly and you hear a little bit about what you're about to say? So there is some real comparative stuff to say. So in 2 Corinthians 6, before I get started, I just want to say this. We're living in days of conflict.
Yes, living in days
of conflict. Days not only here in the U.S., but around the world. And many disturbances are taking place. We see it especially where? In the news and on social media. And then we see some of this negative stuff affecting our family and our friends. It's happening. And I'm not going to stand here today and say that things aren't happening when they truly are happening. But today, as most of you know, it's funny. I see the shields. They're new shields. I'm always talking about challenge. I believe it's the theme God's given me, that we were made for challenge. But today I want to talk a little bit about comfort. And I see the shields. I don't see the swords. The shields remind me of how you comfort yourself when you're in a battle. Because you're keeping those darts off. You're keeping those bullets off with a shield. So there's another confirmation about today, about comfort. And I just want to say, how do we respond to all these darts that are being shot at us, other than holding up our shield? I call it stimuli. The earth, the world, the kingdom of darkness is presenting a stimulus in front of us. We are either on the offense or we're on the defense. There's no middle ground. We know this. We are being attacked spiritually like never before. And what I mean, not just the natural man on this earth, but we as the people of God are being attacked. So how do we respond? We're either working with Christ or we're working against Christ. Even as born-again believers, we've got to watch what we do and say. Because I sure want to work with Christ. I don't want to work against Him. So how do we do the work that God's called us to do? We got to be instructed by His Word. We're attacked in such a way that there is such tension like we've never seen tension before. We feel it. We sense it. These things are taking place. And we see it in the lives of our kids. We see it in the lives of our grandkids. And by the way, our return, since we've returned, it seems like we've been putting out fires in our families' lives, even in the lives of some of the people back in Uganda. It's like, okay, now we're being called upon to not only preach this gospel, but now we're being called to correct people. And I'm like, wow. So we're like saying, Lord, show us how to do this. Instances are coming in front of us, situations, and we're saying, God, we need your help. So we go to the Word and we're bringing instruction. So negative shoots towards us. How do we respond? We sure don't do it the way the world does. Amen? We don't want to respond the way the world responds. Now listen, when things happen, wow, I've gotten to be more of an expressive person the older I've gotten. I guess you could say the German in me has turned more Italian. I've married an Italian lady. And German people just get angry. But I'm not full German, thank God. Okay? And this is no dig on Germans, but I'm part Jamaican too. Mix that in there. Thank you, Lord. A little bit of grace and not hard sternness. Grace says, you're being too German sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Do I need to show grace? And she's like, yeah. And I said, well, you're an Italian emotional person. Right?
The Italians bring love.
Absolutely. So there's a mix going on here. And we have to ask God to help us. Amen?
Amen.
But as we get older, thank God we're learning. And we learn. But we know that in the Scripture, God says that we got to fight His way. Again, and I'll speak a little bit about fighting. You know, I thought I was a prize fighter or something in my past life, the way I talk about it so much. But I wasn't. But I am here to say that God wants us to fight the way He wants us to fight. We were made for it, but we got to do it His way. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 1, Paul's speaking here, and he says in verse 1, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We don't want to take for granted the grace of God. For me to be able to stand here today is a miracle. Really, any of us, to stand and say that we believe in God, because we're all sinners, thank God, redeemed, with smiles on our faces. There's been some damage done. Yeah, each of us, there's been some damage done. But thank God, we've been forgiven, and we can move on. But we don't want to take the grace of God in vain. So he says in verse 2, and now he's about to quote Isaiah. And Isaiah is talking, but then Isaiah in the Scripture says this, at the acceptable time, and God is speaking through Isaiah, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Paul brings what Isaiah said now into his time, and he says, behold now, this is the acceptable time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Paul said, I'm going to take Isaiah, and I'm going to bring the Scriptures to modern day. And he's saying, now is the day of salvation. Now, here we are 2,000 plus years since Paul has written this, and it's the same message. Now is the day of salvation. Verse 3, giving no cause for offense in anything in order that the ministry may not be discredited. Wow, if there is any battle taking place today, it's being offended. We see it out in the world. I saw a little comic strip the other day, The Family Circus. How many of you know about The Family Circus comic strip? And it said something about being offended. I can't really say the whole thing. It was really cute. But the world gets offended so easily today. Well, it's real. Offense is real. And Jesus said, woe to those that get offended. Warning to those that are offended. Why? Because Paul says it here and Jesus said it. Offense, it discredits the work of the kingdom. It discredits the ministry. And so what we have to do is to keep in mind, which all of us do, we have to keep in mind not to allow offense to wreck our lives. Not to allow offense to discredit the work that God's done in us. And we might say today, well, I don't like that preacher. I don't like those people. None of us here are doing it because you're here today. But there's a lot of people that have said, no, I don't want to be a part of the church anymore. And these are the reasons why. Well, they're offended. And that offense has brought discredit to their lives. And they say no to the church. No to the way it used to be. No to the new way things are being done. We need each other. We need to continue to meet, right? That's why we meet. We don't allow offense to keep us from meeting. People might say, well, this is the reason why. We don't want to meet. We don't want to join. And God's like, I don't care what your excuse is. You're supposed to forgive. And we're like, oh, but you don't know. And it's like, that's right. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Meet. Come together. Work out the differences. It's not worth it. It's not worth carrying around the offense. It's not worth having your life as a minister, because we all are, be discredited because of offense. Isn't it the most craziest thing? But yet it's so true, it happens. And we got to say, Lord, how do I fight? And he says, don't fight tit for tat. Come and pray and get your heart right so that you can live a life of not being offended. Now, something I did when I was younger that was wise. And you wonder, and you look back at your life sometimes, and you go, only God allowed me to see this wisdom. Because in and of myself, I'm just dumb. And when I was younger, I remember saying, I am going to choose to not live an offended life. I did that at a young age. And throughout the years, like I said, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more expressive, which means I'm going to use my emotions more. And if I get angry, I'm going to get angry. But God reminded me all through my youth, you said you're not going to walk offended. You're going to live a life of offense. You're going to forgive people. Even recently, I get from a family member, you should have seen what so-and-so did. And I'm like, yeah, let me get angry along with you as you're describing how you are offended. And I got angry, and Grace is like, oh, you're not supposed to do this. And I'm like, oh, but you should have heard what she said. And I got corrected, and boy, I needed it. And I had to be reminded, I can't walk in offense. Because as soon as that person tells me how that other person offended them, and then they get it right, and I'm walking around going, so how's your relationship with so-and-so? Oh, we got it worked out. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry that I got so excited about how you were hurt and agreed with you. And now here I am wondering how, and y'all are already cool again. Another thing. Wow, I wasn't even intending to say this. This one's kind of heart-wrenching, but I'm going to say it anyway. My sweet daughter got involved in a relationship, and I wanted to get angry with the guy that she got involved with and do some things I shouldn't do. But yet the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. Don't you get mad and take up an offense. Protect your daughter, but don't do things that you shouldn't do. And I said, okay, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna do this God's way. And do you know, I'm so glad I didn't go out and lose my head and do something I shouldn't have done. Because it would have discredited me. And there's a future with these two. So I decided to pray instead and let God work this thing out. And now I see that that was the best decision. Amen. I'm learning to do it the biblical way. Are you ready to learn how to do it the biblical way? I think y'all already know how to do it the biblical way. But I'm just here to remind you today. I just came by to bring a word of comfort. You don't have to pull your sword out today. Just hold your shield up, okay? verse 4. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. That's right, we're servants of God. We got to commend ourselves sometimes. And no one else is doing it. You got to commend yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord when he found out that his family was removed from him at war and they were burning the city, and his men that were supporting him said, "Oh, you led us out here to fight, and now all our family members are, and we're offended at you, and we were going to take you out." And David said, "I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord." That's what we're to do. We're to commend ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. Look at verse 5. In beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. All these things Paul suffered. And some of us have suffered these things. And some of us will suffer these things. But we're to do what? To endure these things. Those are all outward things. Now in verse 6, he talks about the inwards. In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in patience, in kindness. Wow. In genuine love, in the word, verse 7, in the word of truth. In these things we are to live. That's how we're to endure. During times when the arrows are being thrown, when the bullets are being shot, we're to do it this way. And I'm here to remind you today as well that we can't act like the world even when we want to. Right? Because if we do, we're no different than them. And we got to stand up and do what's right. Amen. How do we do it? Look at the second part of verse 7. By the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. There's nothing like being in right standing with God, because He will fight our battles when we are in right standing with Him. I read all that just to read that last part of verse 7. By the weapons of righteousness. When we have integrity, sometimes we don't have to fight. He'll do it for us. Now, He's given us the legs, He's given us the arms, He's given us the mouth as human beings to do our part, to get up and go talk to the legislature when it's a local legislature, St. Tammany, or when it's Baton Rouge. He's given us the ability. He's given us, thank God we've got that ability, and that our government is in the state of in which it is, where they allow us to come voice our opinion, because we can still do that. Praise God for that, huh? But yet, we do it underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it while praying, but yet we get our point across. And some of the folks here in this room went and testified on a city level, on a parish level, and on a state level, underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit and prayer. And if things got done, things were said, things were prayed into existence. And so we stand where we do concerning this casino thing here. But we did it, and I'm not here to say, wow, we're great folks, but I am here to say we did it the right way. And then some of the parish and city leaders and business leaders said, we're going to take our part. We're going to fight against this thing. So thank God we went about this in the correct way. And Pastor Morris has led this charge with along with the other ministers since February, and he's done it in a way of integrity and in a way of righteousness. And now the general populace and people that don't want to lose money, it's really the way that they're coming at it, are with us. So we went at it from a moral standpoint, and now others are coming at it from a monetary standpoint. But yet the work's getting done. Yeah. Amen? And I'm glad I can use you as an example, Pastor, as of righteousness and having a stand in integrity. Now we're seeing the needed people get out and do this work as well. We do all this together. Amen? We do it together. But there's got to be that weapon of righteousness. The shield is the weapon of righteousness. Sometimes it's the sword, but today I'm not pulling the sword. It's the shield. We're gonna speak about God's comfort, okay? Galatians 5. Let me finish up here in Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16. Paul's speaking again. And he says this, "But if I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." I love that promise. It's like there. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and it's like you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Sometimes when people come to Jesus and they're wondering, am I offending God? Am I doing wrong? It's like, here is a sure verse to let people know that might be new in the Lord. Am I doing something wrong? Well, let's talk about it. "But if you are walking by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that Dave might not do the things that he pleases to do when he gets offended." Amen? "So that I won't do the things that I please, because I have a Heavenly Father that needs to be pleased and not my flesh that wants to go off on somebody," right? "But if you are led by the Spirit," verse 18, "you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident," and boy, here they are: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, wow, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Wow, what a list. And there are other lists that Paul lists in the New Testament of things, not just these, but others that are offenses and abomination to God, that if we do, that we will not inherit the kingdom. On this earth, we want to live the life God's given us. We want to see him do what he said he would do. So the less we do of these things that I just read, and the more we do of the things that I'm about to read, the more we experience his kingdom on earth. Amen? And that's what we want, because we want to fight his way. We don't want to fight the way the world fights. Thank God we can fight. Thank God we've been given a purpose to fight in the Spirit, mainly in prayer and in intercession. And then sometimes we got to get up with these physical bodies and stand for what God says to stand for, and not allow, this is for somebody, our family and friends, to dominate us and say, "Oh, I'm coming into your space and I'm going to mess your life up with my chaos." And we say, "No, you're not coming into my life or to my family or to my house and mess my life up either." Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's see what God says. Amen? Amen. Prayer is usually the thing that breaks that mess up. How many of you know that when you've counseled with people before, when you end in prayer, somehow it just sits right? Yes. When you end, whatever you do, you may have a blow up and you may have to speak words that are firm, But once you say, let's let God end this, after all this talk and pray, it just sets the tone. Amen. I've had to do that throughout the years. And praise God, it seems like I just forget about it. And then maybe if I got to counsel with that person again, it's like, okay, what was it that you did? I forgot. Tell me what it is. I know I'm a man. Men forget. Women don't forget. But they're working on it. And here we have to say, okay, tell me what it was. Amen. God helps us to forget sometimes, just like He does. He forgets our sin and casts it from us. Thank you, Lord. Let me finish up here. Verse 22. Finally, we come to the comfort words. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Such against things there is no law. We usually don't get in trouble for doing these things I just said, especially self-control. We usually don't get in trouble when we practice self-control. Now these who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And finally, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen. Isn't it the goal to walk by the Spirit? Not just at Christmas time, but all year round. Because we're supposed to be nice at Christmas, aren't we? Oh, we're supposed to be happy and joyful. And oh, Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to you. No. We're able to keep this joy with us, thank God, all year round. And it's not a seasonal thing. But we got to walk by the Spirit in order to do such. And we can't take on offense. But we got to ask for forgiveness. And we got to be forgiving to our loved ones, to our spouses, to our kids, to our parents if they're still with us. Amen. You know, when we're in Uganda, we're amongst young people all the time. It's like Grace and I are the elders. Every once in a while we meet somebody in their 60s. And then we meet a 114-year-old man. Did you see it?
Yeah.
He was 114 years old. I said, I need to go sit and learn from this man. There's something for me to learn. He couldn't even speak English. Yet he said his father, we've had an interpreter, his father was in World War I and World War II. And they had to gather the forces. The Ugandan men, you say, how would Ugandans be involved in World War I and II? Well, they were on standby for the sake of Britain because Britain owned and Uganda was a colony at that time. And it's like, what can this 114-year-old guy say? He said, there was a missionary that came through years ago and I got baptized. I'm like, whoa, how long ago was that? And then that was it. I didn't get the rest of it. But what's so...
100 years ago at least.
Amazing. The man was born in 1907. Amazing and incredible that the man is still alive. He had 2 feet and no toes on one foot. The other foot was fine. It was like, life's great. He can walk. He's still alive. Amazing what God does. Amazing how to see somebody that old who has lived that long. Yet, I look at my life and I go, God, help me possibly to live that long, but I can't hold those grudges and I can't allow the work of the ministry to be discredited. I hold up my shield of faith. I say, Lord, they're coming at me. I know they're coming at me. I'm ready to pull the sword out, but I'm going to hold the shield up today. Amen. Are you holding up the shield? Are you holding up the shield? Because you need that shield as much as you do the sword. And I'm speaking to myself here. But we need to hold up that shield of comfort when the darts are being tossed at us. And we do it the way of the Scripture, not the way of the world. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise God for His goodness. Was that a word of comfort today? Was the Ugandan presentation a hope to you today? Was it a... And the reason I say that is just, hey, we're just people. We get to go do this stuff. And it's like God opened this opportunity. We love it. We have fun. We don't go over there begrudgingly. We go over there with a smile on our face and we say, God, what do you want us to do? And the craziest of situations open up and people come and we're like, okay, who are we going to meet today? Is it going to be a person of great influence or is it going to be a street child? Either way, we're going to be happy no matter what happens because he's Lord of our lives and we want to please him. And I don't want to please my angry self sometimes. I need to get over my anger and thank God he can help me to do so. Praise God. So this message was for somebody today. First, it was for me, right? When you prepare messages, it's for you first to get your life right. And I'm getting my life right. But then it's also to help others. And I hope this helped you today. The scripture always brings comfort to me, even if it talks about let's go get them and murder them and grind them. There's some comfort in it. Because let me say the reason that there is some comfort in it. God is a just God and he's a loving God. And we are parents, many of us. And we want to pull our hair out sometimes because of our kids and grandkids. And we say, if I could, I'd put you under my foot and grind you right now. David said it a bunch of times. He said, let me add them. Let me kill these people and destroy them. And may their face and name never be remembered anymore. And it's like, how can somebody have that much passion and turn around and say, God, I messed up and I repent. Will you love me? And God's like, not only do I love you, you're my beloved. God loves passion, but in the right way. Amen? I want to do it right. I want to do it right. I've got a certain amount of years he's given me on this earth, and I want to do it right. Do y'all want to do it right?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. May his comfort be with us today in this season coming up. Not only because it's Christmas, but because of all the craziness that's directed at us. We can do this. We can do this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's given us the power by the Holy Spirit. Let me pray and then we'll switch gears. Is that cool? Lord, we thank you, dear God, that there are times that we speak where we're wielding a sword. Wow. And today, we want to wield a sword because we see foolishness going on. But yet, Lord, you say, don't fight this time. Just like David asked, do we fight or do we not? And you gave David direction, King David. And sometimes he had to stop and not fight. But then most of the time he did. Because when he asked, you said, go. Lord, help us to do the same. Help us to walk by the Spirit. Help us to hear your words. Help us to wake up in the morning. And as we wake up in the morning, hear your words, Lord, so that we can be directed throughout the day. Or when we go to sleep at night concerning the next day, may we hear your voice as you speak to us, Lord, as we inquire. And Lord, when we do it your way, may we see your hand work. I thank you that even this week, things that Grace and I have been praying about, Lord, you have shown action towards things, dear God, that break our hearts. Lord, you are showing up and doing miraculous things. So I'm just here to testify today of your goodness. Lord, may we see your mighty hand move. We're watching it move concerning this casino thing. We're watching it move concerning, Lord, different individual situations in our lives. And we say, move, Lord, move, Lord, move as we extend our prayers and an intercession before you. And may we stand righteous. May we stand with integrity, dear God, in order that you fight our battles for us the way that it's supposed to be truly done. In Jesus' name, we give you praise for your goodness. Father, even as I'm lifting my hands over the people today, I ask for your healing flow into bodies in this room. those that may be watching, dear God. May your healing intervention, may the stripes that were laid upon Jesus' back, the healing provided for that, be theirs today. Father, we ask you, dear God, to touch broken relationships. May people come to know you. May they say, I need Jesus. I need him as Lord. He died on a cross. He shed his blood for me in order to be right in my mind and right in my spirit. Father, touch lives today as we say yes to your work in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him glory. Amen.
Amen. That wasn't me. That was a great message. Oh, great message. Up. I'll get it right. Good message. Let me take about 60 seconds in and capitalize on something you said, because Pat and I learned, we went to a conference years ago, and we learned about a principle that you brought up today. And it's, we went to a conference, it was the Bill Gothard conference, and he talked about taking up other people's offenses, and he explained it. And let me just build on what David brought up. Let's say that Becky is upset with Roe, and she comes to me and said, do you know what Roe did? And I say, well, that's sorry guy. And then I get mad at him, just like you said. Here's the principle. God gives grace to Becky to resolve that issue. I'm an outsider. I've got nothing, I have nothing in that, what's going on. And if I get angry with Roe, and like you said, they patch it up, I have no grace to deal with that issue. So what you do is you interrupt the flow of the grace of God. So if someone is having an issue with someone else, what you do is say, well, let's pray about it, you know, and try to help Becky deal with the issues she's dealing with, but to not get angry and pick up that offense, because God won't give you the grace to deal with that. And like you said, you end up mad with somebody, they patch it up, and then you are having difficulty getting over it. So it's really, when you said that, I just thought of how important it was that you brought that up, and just wanted to add just a little tidbit to that to help you understand what's going on. God only gives you grace to deal with the things that you're involved with personally. Do you get angry about things that you're not involved with? You're just wasting time, just blowing in the wind. Let God give his grace to the right people to get things resolved, okay? Let's all stand. You guys, I'd like to get you two guys made into porcelain and just put you all up here and just let see you every day. You guys, it's such a blessing. I appreciate your missionary work into Uganda. I'm glad you're going and glad you're doing it. And God's giving you the grace for it and the fruit of your labors. Well, Father, I thank you for David and Grace. Ask you to bless them, to keep them. Let the fiery darts of the enemy that are just causing chaos, the little foxes that are trying to spoil the vine in their lives. Father, I speak words of faith and power that you will resolve these issues. All the ones in Uganda, the ones here in the States, wherever they may be, that your peace that passes all understanding would keep David and Grace's hearts in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We rejoice in you. Father, that in the middle of war, as we're at war, there's a place of peace that you can provide for us. Father, give us peace in the midst of the chaos of our world. And Father, I just pray that next Sunday, when we gather here, we'll be hooping and hollering, shouting for joy that the casino has been defeated. But Lord, before next Sunday gets here, we're following the example of the
three Hebrew boys thrown in the fire furnace. It doesn't matter. In the great expanse of things, Lord, we will still continue to whoop and praise and rejoice in you. If things don't go the way we think they should go, we know that you know more than we do. And we trust you, Lord. It's a thing called faith. Those that come to you must believe that you are. And we believe that you are. And we believe that you're doing what needs to be done on our behalf. Father, bless this day as only you can. Thank you for the beauty of it. Take care of us wherever we go. In Christ's name. And all the kids said, amen. Thank you for watching on YouTube and Facebook and our webpage, wherever you may be. God bless you, and tune back in again.